Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and beloved, God is still in the miracle working business. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I just introduced yesterday, Unwilling to Compromise. And the Lord took me to the opening chapters of the book of Daniel, and we look at the life of Daniel and those of his three companions, Abednego, Meshach, and Abednego, and the trials that they experienced while they were in a foreign land, while they were in Babylon. And their faith was tested. And beloved, right now, in this hour in which we are living, there are many of our brothers and sisters, the persecuted church in those nations of the world right now, they're having to make the same kind of decisions that Daniel and his companions had to make. Will they compromise? Will they disavow their faith? Will they deny Jesus for the sake of survival? In many cases, it means martyrdom. It means being killed. And so even Peter, remember, he went out and wept bitterly because when they were so shaken with what was happening, that Jesus was arrested and taken hostage and being criminally tried and crucified, why, in fear of his own safety, this is a normal human response, and yet he said he would, you know, never deny him again. He learned from that lesson. And so, beloved, even in the hours in which we are now living, here in America, we have not experienced persecution, although we can certainly see the beginning signs of it. Those that have refused to do certain things because of a political correctness, their businesses are being punished. And this is something we have not experienced in a very life-threatening situation, but beloved, I believe before the end comes, whenever the Lord returns, we don't know when that may be, but the important thing is we know that those who are alive during the time of the tribulation, they will have to make a choice. They will either receive the mark of the beast or they will not. And they, as we know from the book of Revelation, many have laid down their lives for the cause of Christ. And so, beloved, in the times in which we are living, you know, in these last, this last 100 years or so, we haven't experienced persecution. But in our normal day-to-day lives, there's always still the ability to compromise, to give in, to do something unethical because of perhaps job demands. And the question is, are we willing to compromise, number one, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or willing to compromise biblical standards? And there has much apostasy come into the church. And so that's why I really felt led of the Lord to understand the faith and the strength that the heroes recorded in the Bible, what they had, what they did, and how we saw God would deliver them. So I promised we were going to look at the opening chapters of the book of Daniel. And yesterday I mentioned that Daniel, they were young men, or they, at one point King James says they were children. So we don't know their exact age, but they were to be trained in the king's affairs. They were to be given all the education and the resources necessary to be of use to the king. And now verse 18 in chapter 1 says, "Now at the end of the days that the king had said, whatever time was set for their preparation, he said, he should bring them in. And so the prince of the eunuchs, who was in charge of them, brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And in other words, he got to know them. He listened to them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, and these are their Babylonian names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. In other words, they served the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, all the things he looked to them for knowledge, for counsel, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. And so they were obviously, God's hand of favor was upon them, even though they were captives and servants, if you will, in a foreign land. And so what we see now in chapter 2, and I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I want to kind of going to give you the highlights just to refresh your memory. And it was in the second year, Nebuchadnezzar was newly ordained king, if you will. He had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and sleep break from him. Like, he couldn't sleep. And so what did he do? He commanded the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to show them his dream, because he was greatly troubled, he was really upset, and he couldn't remember it. And he said unto them, I've dreamed a dream. And so their response was, okay, king, tell us your dream. And he said in verse 5, the thing is gone from me. And then, being king, he makes this demand, if ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Well, the threat of death was hanging over them. And he says, of course, if you can do this, tell me what the dream was and interpret it properly. Well, I will give you gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. And so they answered the king, well, tell us the dream and we'll show you the interpretation of it. And he says, again, he said, I don't know it. The thing's gone from me. And then he says, if you won't make me know into the dream, I know you're just going to give me some lying and corrupt words. And then in verse 10, that must have been something. Can you imagine? They responded as one man. There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there's no king, Lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king requireth. In other words, you're being totally unreasonable. Nobody, you're asking the impossible of us or any wise man. And there is none other that can show it before the king. And they're being prophetic here, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Well, it wasn't the gods, but it was the God of heaven and earth. And anyway, the king was furious. He was angry. And he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Problem was, that included Daniel and his counselors. And so a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. I mean, that was it. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And so Daniel asked for an explanation of the captain of the king's guard. And so the guard said, he was speaking to him, and he said, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And he explained to him what the issue was. And so Daniel went in and sought audience with the king and asked for him to give him some time, and he would show the king the interpretation. And then Daniel went back, and he made the thing known to his companion, and obviously they prayed. Verse 18 says that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then, of course, Daniel had a dream, and he gave him the understanding. And he says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me and went out what thou hast desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. So he went before the king, and when Daniel stood in the presence of the king, verse 27, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise, listen to what he says, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And then he proceeds to describe the dream and the interpretation. And basically, verse 31, he describes in what the dream was, a great image. There was incredible excellence and brightness about it. The head was of gold, and there was the belly, the breast and arms were of silver, the belly as thighs of brass, his legs of iron, the feet part of iron and part of clay. And basically, well, let me do the final thing. Thou sawest a stone. This is the Rock of Ages, beloved, was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, break them to pieces, and everything else, it just collapsed, and the wind blew them away as chaff of the summer threshing floor. In other words, the stone that the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner. Jesus, the Rock of Ages, is coming back, and this is a description in dream vision of Jesus coming back to abolish the kingdoms of men and set up his kingdom on the earth, and he will rule and reign. And he goes on to explain, which is basically the history of mankind. It was Nebuchadnezzar. He says, thou art king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. He goes on, and he says, thou art this head of gold. And then he talks about kingdoms arising after him, who will be inferior to him. Well, to me, this is just absolutely fascinating, as we see these stories have already been narrated and gone, have been exemplified in the history of man, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire. But we see that God has yet a plan. This is still a period of grace, and we will see what God is going to do for those who will not compromise. Praise God. Well, I love you. My time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me, and we're going to continue tomorrow at the same time. I love you. Pray for you every day. The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.